Lampstand Press presents Weft History Audio, original material written by Scott Somerville, edited and read aloud by Nate Somerville, with color commentary provided by me, Ted the Thread,
and special appearances by Christina Somerville as Nellie the Needle.
Year 2, Week 3, The Byzantine Empire and the Rise of Islam. This week, we will be talking about the rise of a new religion, Islam. We will study the life of Muhammad and his basic teachings. We will also discover the culture of Muslim countries and the beautiful artwork and buildings that they made. Your family will be learning about mosques, which are Muslim houses of worship, and caliphs, the spiritual and military leaders of the Muslim world. Most importantly, however, we will prepare to talk with people living today who believe and practice Islam. By doing so, we will hopefully learn how to better share the gospel of Jesus Christ with them. Islam was first preached by Muhammad, a man who lived in the Arabian desert in a town called Mecca. Muslims believe that Muhammad was the last of many prophets, including Jesus, who had preached the same message of Islam. Muhammad claimed that those who came before him had made mistakes in their teaching, and that he was the final and greatest prophet of the one true God, Allah. The religion Muhammad started is called Islam, a word which means submission in Arabic.
Huh? What? We're going on a submarine mission? Yes! This year was already good, and now it's great all over again. Dive! Dive! Load the torpedo tubes. I've got Nellie in the crosshairs of my periscope. She's on a pool float.
Avast! Abort! Ted, it's not a submarine mission. It's sub-mission.
Yeah, I don't understand how you're saying anything different. Sub-mission. As in, a mission in a submarine. Submission.
Now, submission means to submit, to surrender, to obey the authority of another person. In this case, God.
Well, of course we're supposed to obey God. This Mohawk guy seems pretty smart to me.
Yes, we're supposed to obey God, but Muhammad was telling people that they were obeying the wrong set of rules, that the Bible was not really true. He said that he was the one telling the real truth, and that his religion, Islam, was the only right way to worship God.
So then, we should call them Islamahubis, or Islamamamahomiyat, or I want a salami sandwich?
No, now you're just being silly. We don't call believers in Islam Islamics or Islamahubis. That would be offensive to them. Instead, followers of Islam prefer to be called Muslims. Before Muhammad began teaching about Islam, the Arabs were a poor group of tribes who usually wandered from place to place, living in tents and working as shepherds or traders. Their land couldn't grow very much food, and they were almost always at war with each other. Eventually, Muhammad's teachings brought these tribes and many other peoples into one common culture that shared a religion and a language. The main idea of Islam is the oneness of God. The Arabs used to worship many gods and goddesses. They were polytheistic, which is a word that means many gods. So this was an important message, and a very different message, to the Arabs who were the first ones to listen to Muhammad. The Arabs had heard about Christians, but Muhammad taught that Christians didn't really believe in the one true God. He said Christians had set up Jesus as a partner with God, and that with the Holy Spirit, there were a total of three Christian gods. Muhammad insisted that God, or Allah, as Muhammad called him, does not have a son and cannot have a father. Muslims believe that Allah has 99 different names, such as the All-Merciful, but Father is not one of those names. Now, Muslims have a lot of respect for Jesus, but they don't believe that he is the Son of God. Muhammad taught that Jesus was the Messiah that the Jews had been promised. He said that Jesus was born of a virgin, and he said that God had sent Jesus to bring the gospel, called the Injil in Arabic, to his people. He even said that Jesus was the greatest of all the prophets, greater even than himself, Muhammad. Muslims believe that Jesus taught the same basic message as Muhammad, but that the Christian disciples, the 12 apostles, twisted that message after Jesus' death. They also don't believe that Jesus died on a cross. They can't imagine that Allah would allow his righteous prophet to suffer such a humiliating and pointless death. Instead, they say that God switched Jesus and Judas Iscariot at the last moment, so that the betrayer died on the cross instead of the prophet.
Well, that would be a pretty good trick. Sort of like a magician. And then he could follow up with the show like in Daniel. He'd have 72 lions on big boxes in a circle around him. And they'd be hungry, and their teeth would be drooling with the saliva. And then he would have them roar out the hallelujah chorus. Roar, 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 roar. Roar, 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 roar.
Ted, Ted, hey, Ted. Whoa, hey, kill the music.
Aw, shucks. Why did you do that? We were just going to get to the good part.
New rule, Ted. No more lions.
I don't think I like this rule. How about I can have only 37 lions in the house at one time?
No.
Okay, okay, 12. But you drive a hard bargain, mister. I won't have more than a dozen hungry, man-eating lions in the house at any given time. Are you happy?
No, not very. First of all, no lions. Not even one. Secondly, God didn't do some kind of miracle or magic trick to rescue Jesus from the cross.
Yeah, but Mohawk said that.
Muhammad said a lot of things. He twisted and changed a lot of things that the Bible teaches us. He did that by saying that God had given him a special message to correct the mistakes made by the followers of other prophets, like Jesus.
So, who is right? Who's telling the truth?
The Bible says, "Let God be true, and every man a liar." If Muhammad is telling the truth, then that means that a lot of the Bible is lying. If the Bible is true, however, then Muhammad is the liar.
So, I have to choose between Mohawk and Jesus, huh?
Yes. Again and again throughout our study of history, you will find dozens, hundreds, even thousands, of answers to the most important question. Who is Jesus? Muhammad says that he was only a prophet. Arius, from week one, said that he was made by God, but he wasn't really God. The Bible says that Jesus is God, that he is the Son of God, and that the only way to be saved is through him. He is the way, the truth, and the life.
So, how do you feel about lion cubs?
Lion cubs are pretty cute, and we could talk about those guys later, okay?
All right. So,
Jesus isn't the only prophet that Muhammad taught about, however. Muhammad taught that there were many prophets. The Quran, which is basically Islam's Bible, records Muhammad's visions and mentions 25 prophets by name. These include Adam, Abraham, Moses, David, Jesus, and Muhammad. Muslims have a very different understanding than Christians about sin and judgment. They believe that children are born without sin, and that all people can choose salvation once God shows them the way. Salvation depends on doing 5 basic acts consistently. These are called the 5 pillars of Islam. These pillars are testimony, prayer, giving alms, fasting 1 month each year, and making a pilgrimage to Mecca. The testimony means saying, "I bear witness that there is no God but Allah, and Muhammad is the messenger of Allah." Prayer happens 5 times a day, always at the same times. Before praying, Muslims must wash their hands, face, parts of their arms and head, and their feet. Then they stand facing Mecca. They raise their hands to their ears and say, "Allahu Akbar," Allah is the greatest. Then they recite the first part of the Quran and another verse. Then they say, "Allah is the greatest," again, and bow from the waist. They stand up and say, "Allah is the greatest," again, and then fall to their knees, touching the floor with their foreheads. They repeat this pattern of prayer 5 times each day. Giving alms is the 3rd pillar of Islam. It is basically a tax that the Muslims pay once each year, usually to the mosque or other Islamic organizations. Fasting during the month of Ramadan requires Muslims to go without food or water from dawn to sunset. The pilgrimage to Mecca is a once-in-a-lifetime event. Each year, millions of Muslims make the trip to Mecca, where they walk around an ancient shrine called the Kaaba 7 times counterclockwise.
Mecca? Why are the pilgrims going to Mecca? Did they get lost? Did the captain of the ship refuse to stop and ask for directions? Did the batteries on their smartphones die? Or was there no cell reception? And what did they do for potty breaks if there were no McDonald's back then? I thought the pilgrims were supposed to hang out with Squanto in the New World.
Let me start with the most important part. Pilgrimage basically means going on a holy journey to a place that is important to your religion.
So, like some people today go to the Promised Land to see where Jesus lived and walked, would we call that a pilgrimage? And the people who took the trip are pilgrims.
Yes. Another example is the pilgrims in America who started Thanksgiving. They thought of their whole lives as a pilgrimage, a holy journey to reach heaven. It's the same word, but it's used for different people, which can be confusing, I know.
So this means that the captain of the Mayflower didn't get lost.
Basically, yeah. They didn't have cell phones or even very good maps, and there wasn't anyone to ask for directions, even if they wanted to.
Well, what about the McDonald's? Because I could really go for a cheeseburger right about now, and maybe a milkshake.
Chocolate? I don't think that cheeseburgers were invented yet, and there were definitely no McDonald's.
Sheesh. No wonder they call these the Dark Ages.
Muhammad was born in Mecca, a city deep in the deserts of Saudi Arabia, sometime around the year 570 AD. The Kaaba was already there. It is a large granite structure, roughly in the shape of a cube. In the eastern corner of the Kaaba is the Ruk al-Aswad, the Black Stone, or the Al-Hajaru al-Aswad, which is generally thought to be a meteorite. According to Muhammad, the Kaaba was built by Abraham and his son Ishmael as a temple for God. After Muhammad started preaching his new religion, the people living in Mecca drove him out. He then went to Medina, a nearby city, and continued to preach. Medina is also considered to be a holy city of Islam, because that is where people first began to follow the teachings of Islam. Eventually, the Muslims formed an army, and they attacked and conquered Mecca. The fifth pillar, making a pilgrimage to Mecca, honors the return of Muhammad to Mecca and to the Kaaba. Muhammad himself made the first Hajj, or pilgrimage, on the 10th anniversary of his return to Mecca in 632 AD, and he died a few months later. Jerusalem is important to Muslims because they believe that Abraham offered his son, Ishmael, as a sacrifice there. That seems odd to Jews and Christians, who rely on the book of Genesis, which says that Abraham offered Isaac on Mount Moriah. The Quran doesn't actually say that the son he offered was Ishmael, though. That's something that the Muslims have added to their traditions, to their stories, over time.
Wait, not only do they not believe what is written in the Bible, but they just made up their own story? How could they do that?
Remember that the Jews and Moses are the descendants of Isaac through Sarah. The Arabs, on the other hand, are the descendants of Ishmael through Hagar. Abraham was the father of both nations, but they have not been friendly throughout most of their history.
Sort of like how Ted and I always get into fights.
Yes, but a lot worse than your squabbles. The Arabs basically think or feel that the Jews are like little brothers, trying to take all the credit for interesting or good things that happened in Abraham's life.
But there isn't anything written in history like that?
Not that we know of. It's just something that they seem to have made up, as far as we can tell. After the days of Muhammad, Muslims advanced west across North Africa, into Europe. They overran Spain, but were kept out of the rest of Western Europe by the Franks. They advanced into Mesopotamia and captured Persia. And they started taking territory away from the Byzantine Empire, too. They built great cities. At its height, Baghdad had 1 million people, great libraries, and scholars who translated the classical Greek and Roman books into the Arabic language. The growth of Muslim culture came at a bad time for the Byzantines. Last week, we briefly talked about the iconoclastic controversy in the Byzantine Empire.
I still think that this is talking about dinosaurs.
Oh, be quiet, Ted. He's telling the story.
The controversy weakened the empire at a time when the Muslims were growing strong. It also showed the dramatic difference between Islam and Eastern Orthodoxy. The Old Testament and the second of the Ten Commandments forbids the making of graven images, but Muhammad went even further.
What's an image? Is that what you do when you wrestle with a Bigfoot or Sasquatch in a patch of poison ivy? I'm imaging all over.
Ted,
Why would you ever wrestle Bigfoot or Sasquatch? They're so much bigger than you, and especially in a poison ivy patch.
Well, I mean, it's the Dark Ages, and there's a dark forest, so I didn't really see that there was poison ivy until it was way too late. Hey, Mr. Nate, will you hold this rake for me, please?
Why do you need a rake?
Well, so that you can scratch my back for me, of course. Even a silly noodle slurper knows that that is what rakes are for.
I don't think that this is going to help. Plus, image means a picture or a statue when you paint or draw or carve. Usually your artwork can look like an animal or a plant or a thing.
Why is that a problem?
The ancient peoples, like the Egyptians and the Canaanites, who lived around the Israelites, used to make graven images, pictures and statues of their gods. And then they would bow down to those and worship them. God commanded that his people, the Israelites, should not make a graven image and worship it. So, to be safe, the Israelites usually only made interesting patterns from shapes like squares, circles, triangles, and stars. And the Muslims did the same sort of thing with their art. Jews and Muslims are both very careful about making any kind of image. Christians, on the other hand, started making images of Jesus and the saints early in the history of the church. Some Christians argued that we no longer have to keep Old Testament rules, like keeping the Sabbath. And in a similar argument, they said that idols are bad because they are images of things that never existed. By contrast, images of Jesus and the saints are okay, since they show the grace of God and the people that God himself chose. Although there have been arguments over making icons, it never erupted into a full-blown controversy until the Byzantine emperors tried to outlaw the use of religious images.
Controversy? I like this word. I am all for controversy.
I'm afraid to ask, but why do you like it? What do you think it means?
Well, contro basically means against, right?
Yes.
And versi clearly refers to poetry. So, controversy means against poetry. And boy, am I all for that. Ever since Adam and Eve, men have been making themselves look silly, trying to impress girls with poetry. Bleh.
You may feel differently about it when you're older, you know.
Yeah, everyone keeps saying that. But I think they're just in a state of denial.
Well, somebody certainly is, although I'm not sure it's them. Actually, controversy means having an argument. Contro does mean against, but versi comes from the Latin or Roman word veritas, meaning truth. So a controversy is where two people or groups disagree about what is true. In the late 720s, Emperor Leo III was very upset about various troubles. There were Muslims advancing into the empire's territory, plus a volcanic eruption. Leo thought God was angry with Byzantium for their worship of graven images. The church leaders did not agree with him, but he didn't ask them. Instead, he ordered an image of Jesus taken down off of a major gateway in Constantinople. Sadly, the men he gave that job to were murdered by an angry mob. The emperor refused to back down, but the leaders in the Eastern Orthodox Church fought back. The dispute between the iconoclasts, the image breakers, and the iconophiles, the image lovers, almost ripped the Byzantine Empire in half. The contrast with Islam couldn't have been greater. Muhammad taught his followers not to make images of anything, religious or otherwise. Muslims already believed that Christians were polytheists, meaning people who worship many gods, because they worship the Trinity, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Muslims considered the images of Jesus and the saints to be idolatrous images. Islam's rules about images doesn't mean that the Muslims were without art, however. They perfected a form of art that has a beauty all of its own, geometric art. The Arab tribes didn't have much in the way of art originally, but their wars put them in contact with the more advanced cultures of Persia, Syria, Egypt, and Mesopotamia. When these people accepted Islam, they had to give up making pictures of created things. But they didn't abandon art altogether. Instead, they created a special style of Islamic art that includes abstract patterns, some of which use flower patterns, made from geometric shapes like circles, squares, triangles, and stars. Today, Islam has nearly 2 billion followers. The largest Muslim communities exist in the Middle East, North Africa, Indonesia, Bangladesh, Pakistan, India, and Central Asia. Islam is the principal religion in European Turkey and Albania. Although the once great Muslim empires no longer exist, Muslims around the world are still significantly united by their common faith in Islam.